Our text this morning is Psalm 127, a Song of Ascents of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. So, what is the priority in your life? For too many people these days, the priority is always money, career, house, fun vacations, while they are young and they think they can still have fun. Many people want children, but only once they have established themselves and the career is going well. The career and money come first, children come second. This is an attitude which even the disciples in our gospel reading show, as though kids are just something that gets in the way. But Christ, in both our gospel reading and our sermon text, shows us a different attitude, that we should see children as the greatest blessing he gives to us on this earth. In our text, Solomon draws a picture of a man who labors hard and dedicated. He builds a nice house. He works to make sure that the walls of the city are well guarded so that he and his house are safe. He rises early. He works late into the evening, postponing supper until the very end, working hard and saving his money. He does this not only for himself, but in the second verse it says, for his beloved. He wants to give his wife everything that he thinks she deserves. But Solomon says all of this is empty and useless. Solomon can be a little bit of a downer sometimes. All work is empty and useless. All life is pointless. But his point here isn't to make us hate our lives or to convince us that we should just sit around doing nothing waiting for death. His point, rather, is to remind us to stay focused on those things that make life worth living. If I labor hard for myself, if I build a big house and save lots of money, what do I have? I have a pile of gold and not much else. If I do all this same labor, but my goal is to do it to the Lord, then I have done something useful. It is vain unless the Lord builds the house, Solomon says. All that is done for the Lord, whether it's cleaning gutters or baking bread or typing in a keyboard, all that is done to the Lord is good and blessed. All that receives the Lord's blessing is worth doing and is useful. But best of all, says Solomon, is that which is done for the Lord and for the children. Remember that the labor of our hands is a curse that was put on this earth because of the first original sin. When Adam sinned against the Lord, the Lord said, "You shall, by the sweat of your brow, you shall work and earn your bread." Work is a curse, but children are a blessing. Children are the blessing which the Lord gives to us in a cursed and difficult world. It is as though Solomon is saying, the one good thing in this evil world is children. The man who has many children is like a great hunter with a quiver full of arrows. That family will speak with their enemies in the gate. Notice they will speak with their enemy. The whole family there is there supporting one another. Coming from a large family myself, I can tell you how great it is to have many brothers and sisters. There's always someone you can turn to, always someone you can count on to have your back. That is the picture here in this last verse of the psalm. This family is not ashamed because when one of them is troubled, they are all there together, standing up for one another. Better to be a poor man with a large family than a rich man and all alone. So Solomon is encouraging us that we pour our time and money not into wealth, which can easily be here today and gone tomorrow, but that we pour our time, money, and labor into our children, and especially into bringing them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Such work will never be wasted and will never be in vain. The labor we do in the work of the things of this world, that can easily come to nothing. But the work we do for children and to bring them to the Lord is never wasted. It is never empty. It will produce fruit. The work we do as parents, as Sunday school teachers, as Christian day school teachers is not empty. As difficult as it is sometimes, and as often as it seems like the kids aren't listening, God will bless such work. The work we do in whatever other way we might help to bring the little children to Christ is not in vain. Sometimes we help by teaching. Sometimes we help with our gifts, our offerings. Sometimes we help with words of encouragement and by being the kids' friends. It doesn't matter if we're helping our own kids or the kids of others, or both. Such work is not in vain. We have the promise from the Lord that this work is not in vain. We have the promise from the Lord that He will bless that work and those children. Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." In this passage, the Lord promises that all teaching of His word will not be in vain, that He will always bless anyone whom is teaching God's word, and He will work through that for the good of His kingdom. In our gospel reading, Christ promises that He will especially bless the teaching of His word to the children. Matthew 19:14. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God." This is work which the Lord will bless. Often it may not seem like it, when they are young or even when they are grown. Perhaps they grow up and forsake the Lord, and you think, where is the Lord's blessing? But that word is still there in their memory and in their hearts. The Lord might still use it to bring them back. Here we have two wonderful parables from Jesus. The parable of the good shepherd, the one who leaves the 99 and searches out that one lost sheep. That is a promise from our Lord that He will not forget our kids who stray, but will go in search of them. We also have the parable of the prodigal son, who after living a long time in sin, remembers the love and grace of his father and returns in repentance. These parables remind us of the hope of that which is done for the Lord into our children is never in vain. This psalm is called a song of ascent. That most likely means that it was sung on the way up to Jerusalem. Three times a year, the Israelites were supposed to leave home and fields and animals and journey to Jerusalem. They would leave their home sometimes for as long as a week. Perhaps on the way, they were thinking, what is going to happen to my farm? Perhaps I should stay and till the ground and work the field. Perhaps I should stay and guard it. Perhaps on the way to Jerusalem, they were thinking about all the chores that needed to be done at home. But then they would sing this psalm as they walked up to Jerusalem. It would remind them that this trip to Jerusalem was not useless, that it was the most important thing. It would remind them that it is better to go up and receive the Lord's blessings and then go back and do the work, rather than to skip the trip to Jerusalem and just labor without the Lord's blessings. Therefore, they sang, and they went to the temple, and they received the Lord's blessings. Therefore, it is better to put church and worship first. But also, the psalm would remind them that the greatest blessing they have is their children, and how important it was for them to be bringing their children to the temple to receive His blessing. Therefore, they sang and gladly brought their children up to the Lord for Him to bless. The task of bringing our children to the Lord is one of constant repentance. It is not an easy thing to rear children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. It's not an easy thing to bring children up at all, much less to do it in the fear and admonition of the Lord. It is not easy for parents, for teachers, or for the pastor. We have to provide for them, but we also have to be there for them. That means a difficult balance. It means balancing work and time at home. The Lord made day and night roughly equal. Sometimes in Wisconsin here, of course, the day is a little bit longer, and sometimes the night is a little bit longer, but on average, they're each about 12 hours. Yet you don't need 12 hours of sleep. 8 is at most how much most people need. That leaves at least 5 hours of darkness. And I wonder sometimes if that wasn't God's way of telling us, enough work for the day. Go home and spend some time with your family. It is dark. Stop working. spend time with your children. This is a balance, of course, that each of us has to figure out and work out for ourselves, but it is a balance that we need to constantly think about and work on. Paul reminds us in Ephesians and Colossians that we need to discipline our children and teach them the consequence of sin. But he also reminds us not to be too hard on them, lest we discourage them and provoke them to wrath. Again, this is a difficult balance, a knife-edge balancing act. As parents, we can sometimes live in constant fear of getting it wrong. But that's where we have Christ, and that's where we need Christ most of all. The cross of Christ teaches us forgiveness and to be forgiven. The power of baptism in God's Word can heal even the deepest hurt. The power of the Holy Spirit can lead us to daily confess our sins and rely on God's forgiveness for the past and look to the future with the hope of God's power in our lives. There are some parents who do such terrible things, who do such terrible jobs as parents, do such tremendously evil things to their children that their children feel they can never forgive them. Sometimes it's the other way around. Sometimes it's the children who do such terrible things to the parents that the parents feel like they can never forgive their children. Sometimes it really isn't that bad what the parents or the children do, but still words are spoken and anger and resentment are left sitting between parents and children like a stinking rotten egg. It is only at the cross of Christ where we can come and sit and learn the forgiveness that heals even these bitter and deep pains. His cross can teach us to forgive even the most horrendous sins and to move forward. His cross can heal the pain and hurt of even the most abused child. Yes, it is a difficult thing to be parents, but we have Christ, and so we go forth in His power, in His forgiveness. Christ has given to all of us this greatest of all earthly blessings. Even if you don't have children yourself, still, maybe you have nieces and nephews, or maybe you are a teacher or a Sunday school teacher, or maybe in some other way you help and have children in your life. The Lord has given to some of us as individuals, but to all of us as a congregation, this great blessing. Let us pray that He may give us also the patience, love, dedication, wisdom, and forgiveness that we might faithfully bring these little ones to live in His grace. As a congregation, together, let us renew in our hearts our commitment to invest our time, prayers, and money in our children. The Lord will bless these efforts. Amen.